This is Stan Collymore.
And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week are Anthony Kendrick.
Hello.
And Richard Hudson.
Good evening.
You're good?
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks, yeah.
Yeah, so apologies, there was no show last week. I was having an operation.
Did you go through the change okay?
Yeah. There were a few other shows last week, though. I know I recorded a 72 show and a Hipster's Guide to Europe.
Yeah.
So, there was still plenty for our lovely listeners to listen to.
Yeah. Now, I had my gallbladder removed and I'm having the staples out on Monday, which is going to be fun, I'm guessing. But anyway, one story that's caught our eye this week is the reports that have indicated that Spain are considering calling up Spurs midfielder Harry Winks to the squad.
So, where does he fit in? Where's in his heritage? Is he Spanish then?
He has Spanish grandparents, according to the reports.
He looks a decent prospect, but if I was England, I'd be certainly trying to tie him down to the national team for them.
They're not exactly short on central midfielders, though, Spain.
It's something, though, that a lot of the big nations around Europe tend to have a march on England, though. You look at, like, the German and the French teams, the German team, how many Turkish players, Polish players play for them. With the French team, how many from like Algeria and some of the African nations end up playing there? And it's something England haven't done over the years.
Well, actually, you wrote an article about this. I can tell you why in a minute.
That's the but who is it that England have got over the years? You've got Hargreaves, who hadn't really even been in England before he got an England cap.
Yeah, but he had English grandparents.
He was born overseas. He'd lived his entire life overseas. And then you got John Barnes, who he was born in Jamaica.
I think the thing is, though, is from Harry Winks' point of view, I don't know, if I were Harry, I mean, how loyal are people to England? Like, do they look at it in a purely football sense and think, if I join that Spain squad, I've got a good chance of winning a major tournament. If I join England, I probably won't win a major tournament. I mean, do you think of it in that sense, or do you think of it in loyalty to the country, or should you play for the country you feel most, a member of, most nationality, that's your country? I don't know. Personally,
you can go both ways, can't you? You can look at the Spain team and think, wow, they've got so much talent, I probably won't even get in the squad going forward. Or look at England and think, they're a bit pants, I can probably cement a place there.
I guess that's the question, isn't it? Would you rather be a first-team player for England or in the 23 Spain and getting a Euro, assuming they win a European Championship or a World Cup medal, but not, a critical member of that team? It depends what you do.
And it's similar to club football, when you have a young player coming through and then suddenly Chelsea or City or United come knocking, do you take that risk and move to the club and then perhaps your career stagnates while you're stuck on the bench?
Yeah.
Or do you remain at your boyhood club? And
I think with club football, though, I think it's a different thing, because I think if someone turns down England to play for a country they're not as close to, then people will say, oh, they're disloyal and all that. But if a player, leaves his boyhood club, say turns down the chance to play for a big four club, big six club now, I suppose you could say, then, you're saying they're mad to turn down that sort of opportunity and they're not showing any ambition.
Yeah, I found this bit. It's England don't tend to do it because there's an agreement between the home nations that states that naturalised foreign players cannot be eligible purely based on citizenship. Even though it's not against FIFA rules, it's kind of an unwritten rule between the home nations.
Oh, so we just have ourselves for the... keep everybody happy then?
Yeah, but then... because when you come naturalised, you don't become English, you become British, so you can play for any...
There's quite a few players, isn't there? Like, I remember Almunia, the Arsenal keeper, way back, and Januzaj at one point.
Yeah, it says only foreign-born players who have lived in England for 5 years or more up to the age of 18, so they must have come to this country like when they're 12, 13, not when you're But it's not against FIFA rules, it's just disagreement that the home nations have.
I don't see why the home nations should string themselves with a more strict agreement than FIFA. Surely they're all hampering themselves.
Well, let's just say, there's nothing stopping, like, Almunia and Nzonzi and, what is the other one, Mikel.
Arteta.
Oh, the Arsenal player, I can't remember his name, though.
Arteta.
Go and play him for Scotland or Wales or Northern Ireland. Under the same rules. So.
I think we're struggling a bit if we're still trying to call up Mikel or Arteta.
Yeah, but they're the ones who have been linked with this over the last couple of years. But they've become British, they won't become English, so they could play for any of them. So I think that's why the rules in place. It's because Scotland and Northern Ireland, Wales could just have a team of foreigners.
Well, Scotland are probably buggering off soon anyway, so fuck them.
Yeah, okay. Right, shall we move on to a bit of an FA Cup then? Should we start with the FA Cup semi-final draw? Two exciting games. Were any of you disappointed that none of the smaller sides made it into the semi-final? Not United. I mean, like, Reading did in 15 and Sheffield United did in 2004.
No, not really. I think it's a good year. A lot of the smaller clubs obviously have had the glory in this FA Cup, with Lincoln and Sutton especially, how far they progressed. But you want to see the big clubs actually take the FA Cup seriously, which, you know, this year it looks like they have, with the top four teams in the Premier League at the moment being the last four remaining clubs in the FA Cup. I think that's brilliant for the game, and I think it's brilliant for the FA Cup.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you look at, you know, the big team, there's all this criticism of the Premier League not taking the FA Cup seriously, and yeah, some of the smaller clubs haven't, because they've rather stayed in the Premier League than risk relegation with a cup run. Maybe, well, that's another argument, but yeah, you look at it, and the teams which went out, Liverpool, because they played, you know, a reserve side against Wolves, and United, obviously, in that game against Chelsea, and you can't accuse them of not taking the cup seriously, you know, going into that game and losing to Chelsea. But yeah, I agree. I think, you know, we've got four fantastic sides in the semi-final, and it, you know, you could make a case for any of the four to win the FA Cup. And yeah, it also, as we say, you know, you had that glory of Sutton, Lincoln, Millwall as well, worth a shout, who got the furthest of any Football League side. You know, Huddersfield also had a good run. So yeah, I agree. It's been a very good FA Cup because you've got both elements. No Football League side is going to go and win the FA Cup, aren't they? They can try, but they won't.
Yeah, I didn't see the United Chelsea game. I'm sure you guys want to mention.
There was a controversial moment in the game, somewhat. There were other controversial moments as well, and I'll firstly start off by saying that I don't think that the red card was a red card. But if that hadn't been a red card, then there would have certainly have been other red cards in the game.
Yeah.
Rojo should have been sent off for his stamp. I'm surprised that the FA haven't taken further action on it. Valencia was lucky with his two-footed lunge. He was sort of turning his body, but so many times referees will just see that as going in with 2 feet off the ground. But the red card in itself, Herrera was stupid in what he did, but I don't agree with the ruling on it.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think, you know, had he got a warning, had he committed, you know, 3-4 fouls before that, been told any more and you're off, then yeah, fair enough. But the fact is, he committed 2 fouls in the game, and neither of them were one definite. Yeah, I'm still not convinced about the first yellow. I'll probably be wildly disagreed with on that, but I don't think the first one was a yellow card. I don't even think it was a foul, to be honest. I think Hazard ran into Herrera and threw himself down.
He ran into him, but Herrera certainly knew what he was doing.
So did Hazard.
Yeah, but that's clever. But, you know, a lot of strikers, you know, you look at what Ronaldo did for so many years when he was at United. You can look for getting a free kick.
You can look for getting a free kick, but that's no way of booking for me. But going on to the other controversial incidents, Valencia's foul, it was a bad foul. For me, I don't think it was a stamp. I genuinely think he doesn't, there's no force, it's not a, you know, he's, you know, there's no force in it being a stump. He does step on him a bit, but he's running and it's completely, for me, it's unavoidable, I think. I don't know. You disagree?
You see them given. But, yeah, I can see your point of view, but when in a week where, you know, another player's been given a 5-match ban for a similar incident, I'm surprised that the FA haven't dealt with it.
I did think, though, the red card, as we say, ruined the game. I thought, well, up to then, the first 40 minutes, whatever it was the most enjoyable, you know, the most tense, most enjoyable first half of football I've seen in a while. I thought it was a fantastic game, and it was, you know, coming along really well, and I thought, you know, I was really excited, and that red card just kills the game. It's disappointing, really.
But to discuss the red card, that was decided upon as persistent infringement of the laws of the game, because the team as a whole, yeah, were putting a number on Hazard. Now, the FA rule on that is the briefest, most unambiguous ruling I think I've ever read in the game. This is the entire rule on it. Persistent infringement of the laws of the game, then in brackets, no specific number or pattern of infringement constitutes persistent, close brackets. That is it. So basically, it's a number of incidents.
An unknown under an imbecile.
Above two or above. Oh, I guess that's then down to the referee.
It should be not being interpreted. It should be this is the law.
Yeah, but there's no mention at all within the FA rulings of it that being based upon a team, a collective doing the persistent infringement. It's a individual persistent infringement. And he didn't individually persistently infringe. It was the team as a whole. So he shouldn't have been, therefore, sent off for it.
Right, so if we get back to the semi-finals, what do you want the final to be between?
Chelsea-Spurs, I'd like. Oh, no, Chelsea-Spurs in the semi. Chelsea-City, probably.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd like to see that. Well, the other one's Arsenal-Spurs, I suppose. And actually, no, to be fair, I would like Arsenal to win it, I'd like Arsenal or Spurs to win it, so I'll say them two.
But I'd like Spurs to win it, but if it's Arsene Wenger's last season, I'd like Arsenal to win it.
Yeah, I'd
love Spurs to win it. I'd also, cynically, actually, like Anthony's just said, I'd quite like Arsenal to win it, just so Arsenal fans have another year of moaning when Wenger stays.
See, I was thinking of it the other way, in a nice way, where Arsene Wenger would leave and he'd have a trophy to say, yeah, you know, I've won this and I'm going, thanks for everything.
Oh, no, he'd stay another year thinking he's done brilliant. And just to see guys like Piers Morgan just explode again on Twitter.
Two very different United fans talking about Arsenal there.
Well, they did put a poll up.
Pizzagate and such.
Well, they did put a poll up on Twitter and asked our followers which final they'd like to see. So the winner was Arsenal versus Spurs with 52%. But then second was Man City versus Chelsea with 22%. And then it was a joint third for Man City versus Spurs and then Arsenal versus Chelsea.
I think as spectacles, they're the two because there's the obvious rivalries, you know, so they would be the best games to see, I think. I think Arsenal Spurs won it because people would rather see those two win the FA Cup than Chelsea or City.
Yeah, the build up was brilliant because it's a North London derby. And...
Yeah.
I think between all four of them, then it should be, you know, whoever gets through, it should be a decent spectacle of a final.
Yeah. That's why I like the semi final probably because I don't know who's going to win the FA Cup from their four.
No.
Whereas last year, I think it was pretty obvious United were going to win it. Once they got past Everton. So was it Everton, Palace and Watford in the semi-final? I can't remember.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Alright, so it's time for Performance of the Week. Anthony, who was nominated this week?
Yeah, so there was a... Well, we considered at one point not having a poll. N'Golo Kante was named Man of the Match in the Chelsea United game, and there was a debate about whether there wouldn't be a poll at all, and we just named Kante Performance of the Week because we can. But we did a poll in the end. The other three nominees: Josh King, scored a hat-trick at the weekend. Heung-min Son, for his part, in Spurs' 6-0 victory over Millwall.
Oh, he got a hat-trick as well, didn't he?
He did get a hat-trick, yeah. And Marcos Rojo, for his performance for United against Chelsea. And that stamp, if you like, yeah. What do you guys think? And then I'll give you my view.
I put forward Kante initially. Joshua King is one of them that keeps on going under the radar, but you look at his goals over the last few games and he's smashing it at the moment.
Especially scoring a hat-trick after missing the penalty. To come back from missing the penalty is a good thing.
And Heung-min Son, he's a strange player in that whenever Kane seems to get an injury, he suddenly comes really good. Like at the beginning of the season when Kane was out, he was absolutely firing him in. As soon as Kane came back, he just went right back into the shadows. So, you know, next few weeks with Kane out again, he might come to the fore again. Good hat-trick, some nice goals from him, but I'd still give it Kante.
I'd give Kante as well.
Okay. I voted Marcos Rojo just to be different. Personally, I thought...
Not like you.
No, I'm a big fan of Rojo, actually. I thought his battle with Costa was one of the most entertaining things in the Chelsea United game, so that was... That really did influence my decision. I really, really enjoyed that myself.
It was nice to see a centre-back giving it to Costa in the way that Costa gives it to defenders most week.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was the other way around. Costa usually really winds up centre-backs until the centre-back does something silly. And it seemed to be the other way around between those two.
Mm-hmm. Generally, though, I really like watching Rojo. But yeah, no, it was great to see. Not enough people agree with me, though. Only 14% agreed with that. Heung-min Son got 10% of the vote. Josh King got 34%, which means Kante has won, as we predicted he would. So yeah, well done.
It's a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. So.
It was closer than I thought. I didn't think Josh King would get so much of the vote, but, you know, fair play to him. Winner, N'Golo Kante. Congratulations.
I don't think he needs too many congratulations at the moment, because he did have £89 million in his pocket at the weekend.
He was at the Leicester game as well, weren't he, last night?
Yeah, we'll talk about that after the first round of the quiz. And Anthony, it's on you again, your question master this week.
Yeah, I was just building up nicely to give people a hint of what we were going to discuss. And this next question is also a bit of a hint of what we're going to discuss. So, tonight, Manchester City, at the time of recording, Manchester City are playing Monaco. And that's Guardiola's 100th game as boss. 100th game in European football.
Yeah.
He's going to be on track to get the highest win ratio of any manager in their first 100 games. So what
might be dropping a bit at the moment?
Well, it'll still be higher. It'll still be the highest of any manager in their first 100 games. I believe it's 62, 63, depending what happens tonight. So anyway, I want you to name the top 10 managers in terms of win ratio in Europe. And that counts Europa League, UEFA Cup, Champions League, etc.
Ever or in the last so many years?
Forever and ever.
Oh, God.
Any manager. So, to give you a clue, the 10th place manager won 54 of his first 100 European games. Okay. There's quite a few familiar names. There's. I'll be honest, when I read through it, there was two that I'd never heard of, and the other eight I knew. Okay. So, yeah. Does that make sense? The question? All right.
Sort of.
All right. Any manager that won more than 50 games in their first 100 Europe games? Chris, I'll start with you.
Alex Ferguson.
I knew someone would say that. No, he only won 49.
So how many games? 50?
They've got to have won a minimum of 50 games out of 100.
Right.
Out of their first 100, sorry, I should say.
Van Gaal.
Yes, the greatest manager of all time in European football, in my view. He won 61 games, and he's, fantastic manager. I'm sure you guys would agree. Won 61 games and was the record holder.
What's his name? Rafa Benitez?
Yeah, he's second on the list. He's got 60 wins to his name out of 100. Rich?
Ancelotti?
Yes, he's there in ninth place. 54 wins. No, 57 wins, sorry, 57, actually. Over to you, Chris.
Jock Stein?
No, he's not on the list, I'm afraid.
Maureen has to be in there.
Mourinho? Yeah, 54 wins, Mourinho.
My mind's gone blank. Arsene Wenger?
I'm afraid not, no. I'm afraid he's not in the top 10.
You got this, you've
Capello?
Won.
I'm sorry?
Capello?
Yeah, he's got 54 wins as well. It's quite a few matches for 54 club, actually.
Rich has won, hasn't he?
Yeah, but I'm just going to add up the points so we can do it.
Alright, okay.
Don't mind either way. We can do it best out of three if you want, out of games rather than points.
That's good. Yeah, we'll do it best of three then.
Alright, yes, that's one. Alright, so yeah, with that, Heroes 1, it's 1-0 to him. Any other...
Paisley.
I was thinking Paisley.
No, he's not in there. Anyone else you want to guess before I give the list?
Kenny Dalglish.
Hanks, or whatever his name
was. Hanks, yes. 58 out of 100. Oh. He's third on the list. Okay, I'll give you the full list. So Van Gaal was top with 61. Fantastic manager. Rafael Benitez, Jupp Heynckes, 58. Valeri Lebanovsky, that well-known manager who coached Dinamo Kiev a while ago, before my time. He's one of the two I'd not heard of. Giovanni Trapattoni, he's got 56. Fabio Capello, 54. Sven-Goran Eriksson, also on 54. Jose Mourinho, 54, who we said before. Carlo Ancelotti on 57. Finally, Ernst Happel, also a very well-known coach, I'm sure you're all aware of. He won the European Cup twice with Feyenoord. He won it many times, but notably with Feyenoord and Hamburg. 154 of his first 100 games. And yeah, sadly, Sir Alex Ferguson was the only one I wrote down who didn't make the list. He had 49 wins out of 100. And yeah, I was convinced somebody would say it. But yeah.
That was his first 100, wasn't it? So.
His first 100 games, yeah. So yeah, so with that, it's 1-0 to Hero. And we'll come back to the quiz later in the show.
Congratulations, Hero.
I wonder how they all went on sort of over the entire course of their careers so far for some of them.
Yeah.
Because I presume Fergie's improved as it went on.
Yeah, it must have done. I don't have the stats. I'll try and get the stats for another quiz in the near future. Greatest ever European managers.
Cool.
One for the drawing board. It's an interesting question.
So Leicester refused to write the final chapter of the football's greatest, in commas, greatest ever story, as they advanced to the Champions League quarterfinals, beating Seville 3-2 on aggregate, with goals from Morgan and Albrighton last night. Again, I missed the game. What were your thoughts on the match?
I missed it too.
I watched it. Leicester played well. They got a bit lucky with the... Nasri got a stupid second yellow. I think that was the key moment, really. Nasri and Vardy had a confrontation. First yellow card was a stupid foul, which he shouldn't have committed. But it was a yellow. Then he got a second yellow late in the game, which he had an altercation with Jamie Vardy. They both headbutted each other, and referee.
I've heard from it that Jamie Vardy went down like a sucker.
He did. But then the referee made the right decision because they're both, you know, having a go at each other and that. So giving a booking to both was the right decision. But Jamie Vardy quite obviously knew what he was doing, knowing that Nasri had a yellow card and they'd already had a few arguments during the game. But yeah, Vardy went down easily, but the referee... If the referee doesn't give a yellow card to both players, that's the most sensible decision. I know it's harsh on Nasri, but yeah, correct decision. And then, Leicester get a penalty later in the game and... sorry, not Leicester. Sevilla got a penalty later in the game, which was Kasper Schmeichel, great save. It was just sort of one of them games which felt like it was meant to be. It was written in the stars for Leicester. Good result for them. And yeah, well, a fantastic result for them, really. And I guess Sevilla will be wishing they were in the Europa League rather than the Champions League this season.
So they now join European giants like Bayern Munich, Juventus, Barcelona in the quarterfinal. Who do you want them to face rather than who do you think they should face?
Well, I know... Juventus, the Juventus Buffon, their keeper, said that he got asked who he wanted in the next round. He said not Leicester because of the passion in that side.
I've got his quote here. They said they are a dangerous and passionate team. who can cause trouble for opponents. So he'll do anything not to lose.
I think you're saying that out of respect, but I think any of the clubs remaining would really want Leicester out of the draw.
Yeah.
But I think Buffon wasn't prompted to say Leicester. He specifically said Leicester. It wasn't... The question wasn't, do you want to face Leicester? It was the other way. So I think it's a genuine, he doesn't want to play Leicester.
I just can't see him giving a choice of facing and potentially getting Barcelona, Real Madrid out of the draw or getting Leicester. You'd want Leicester.
I would love to see Leicester versus Barcelona personally.
I think that's probably the one that they have the biggest chance against, actually.
I think it'd be an amazing game to watch, personally. I think, you know, Leicester defending deep and trying to hit them on the counter with Jamie Vardy. I think it'd be a great game. That would be the one for me.
I think Morgan and Son Hoof will get ripped to shreds by the three. They'd have to have the game of their lives to have any chance. Also, Shakespeare's been appointed manager till the end of the season. Do you think that's a good choice?
I think it's one of them, really. Wait and see what happens. I think it's the right decision to have until the end of the season, but I guess they can then review how he's done this season and make a decision on the future. So, yeah, a good appointment for me, but then, you know, see how he goes and then possibly either get rid or bring someone else in. Depends. There'll be more availability of managers as well come the end of the season.
Mm. I've heard a few things in the last few days about him.
Yeah.
That a lot of the glories from last season were due to him rather than Ranieri.
Yeah.
Just how they went about their approach on the pitch and the coaching methods was a lot more. I think probably players have been leaking it out to just poo-poo Ranieri and big up Shakespeare. But, these sort of rumours have been circulating a bit the last few days.
And nice. One more Champions League story. There's been a petition to force the second leg of the Barcelona Paris Saint-Germain to be replayed because of the performance of the referee. It's got nearly quarter of a million signatures so far.
And PSG have put forward a thing to UEFA listing all the discrepancies of the referee as well, haven't they?
Yeah, do you want me to read them out?
What?
Right, the Luis Suarez goal was offside in the second minute. There was a penalty not awarded against Mascherano. The red card was not given to Piqué. Piqué escaped in the second, and then 20 minutes later he escaped another second yellow card. Cavani was booked when he shouldn't have been. There was 3.5 minutes of extra time at half-time. The penalty for Neymar, Neymar deliberately seeked contact. Neymar simulated the penalty again. The card was not shown. Neymar
deserved... There were a number of dodgy decisions in the game, so...
There's a handball by Piqué in the box.
It's never going to get replayed.
No.
But I would also, from it, say that it wasn't the greatest ever comeback in the
game. That was only half.
because of the number of dodgy decisions in the game.
Yeah.
I think, PSG bottled it. I think I read from the 85th minute to the end of the game, they completed 4 passes. And 3 of them were from kickoff, so PSG did bottle it.
Yeah.
Having said that, there were a lot of decisions which were incorrect and sickened me, and I completely agree with what Richard just said. For me, it's not a great comeback because it was tarnished by the antics of Luis Suarez and others and this play acting. And for a long time, I've not liked Barcelona, and this is one of the reasons. The other reason was I get bored by the tiki-taka football. That's gone. That's fine. I like the way Barcelona play in terms of, you know, the long ball, more direct style. But, yeah, I find them... It sickens me to watch Barcelona, and I think it's disgusting. And I don't consider it a great comeback at all. Perhaps harsh, but, yeah, I would love it if the game was replayed, personally. I don't think it'll happen, but it would be fantastic if it didn't. Yeah, it'd really wind them up.
I think purely on the basis that every time somebody loses a game, you get so many thousand signatures, the game gets replayed. They can't have a...
Yeah, they can't.
I read a stat the other day about Barcelona, and this was red cards against them in Champions League.
Yeah.
And I think it was something ridiculous in that Real Madrid had something like 15 against them, Bayern Munich had 17, and Barcelona had 36.
Yeah.
Against the other team when playing against Barcelona. So they certainly are UEFA's darlings.
or they're very good
UEFA
at simulating.
UEFA have always wanted Barca to get through to the finals.
Well, I'm sure they're one of the most supported teams in the world, aren't they? So you want more people to watch your finals. Then is Real Madrid the most supported club in the world?
It's a hard one to get statistics on, isn't it? I think Real Madrid have got the most followers on Twitter, but it's hard to get a statistic on who supports clubs and stuff. And obviously, Real Madrid are the richest, aren't they?
They're United now again.
Yeah. So
of course they are. They've overtaken them, haven't they? Yeah.
So up until April last year, so it has changed since. Just found a quick stat on it. Arsenal were third on the red cards against other teams with 18. Bayern Munich are second on 20, and Barcelona were on 31. And that's changed since, obviously, because we've now got this season's in there as well.
Right, shall we go on for the second round of the quiz? So here goes first this time.
Okay. So, I've got, I don't know if you guys play fantasy football, but I do.
Badly.
Well, it doesn't matter how well, you might not have these players in your team then, because I want you to name, according to the official Premier League fantasy football game, I want you to name the top 10 players in terms of points this season. So players who've got, in another way of putting it, any player that's got at least 143 points this season.
It's the first year. I've not been kept on top of it.
But so if you're bad at fantasy football, then the players that aren't in your team that shouldn't be, pick them. So yeah, Hero, you can go first, as Chris went first in the previous round. Any player that scored at least 143 points in the official fantasy football.
My season so far this year in the fantasy football, in the league I'm in, for total points scored of the team, I'm second, but somehow I'm seventh in the league out of 10.
Is it head-to-head?
Should we do one of them, like, 1v1 things? I'll go for Hazard.
Yeah, he's got 163 points and is third on the list.
Harry Kane?
Yeah, he's got 152 points.
I presume the majority of these are going to be up front players. So I'll go with Lukaku.
Yeah, he's second on the list. 166 points.
I do have Lukaku in my team.
Just for interest, most people do. Lukaku's been selected by more teams than any other player.
This is the first year in about a decade I haven't really paid attention to my fantasy football. Because we're not doing a league. Sanchez?
Yeah, he's top, 187 points.
Is that because he's a midfielder?
He is put down as a midfielder.
I think you get 7 points for a goal if you're a midfielder, and just like 5 if you're a striker.
So you always want goal-scoring midfielders in your team, don't you?
Yeah, that's why you always used to have Cristiano Ronaldo in your team, because he'll score 30 goals a season and put his midfielders. Back in the day.
And on that note, then I'll pick Dele Alli.
Yeah, he's fourth. He's fourth with 155 points. So you've got the top four so far.
Costa?
Yeah, he's fifth place.
Oh, now I'm struggling.
So you've got the top six actually so far. So it's 7th, 8th, 9th,
10th. Ibra?
Oh!
8th place in the list.
Oh,
he's my yes.
Oh, I'm going to do one though. De Bruyne?
No, he's not there, I'm afraid. He's outside of the top 10. I don't want to say exactly where he is because it's my tiebreak question if it's a draw. But yeah, he's in the top 10.
Defoe?
No, he's also outside of the top 10. So, Chris, for a chance to take it to the top rate, can you name one of the three players in the top 10 that haven't yet been named?
Ericsson?
Yeah, he's ninth. He's ninth.
Oh, good show.
So, I'll tell you the two you didn't get in the top 10. So, the top 10 in order: Alexis Sanchez, Eden Hazard, Romelu Lukaku, Dele Alli, Diego Costa, Harry Kane, Sadio Mane, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Christian Eriksen, and in 10th place, Gylfi Sigurdsson. So, what I want you to do is, outside of the top 10, see who of you two can name the player who finished it, who's the higher up.
Ooh.
So, if you get the 11th place player, that's automatically a win. Chris, I'll start with you. So, who's the best performing player outside of those 10?
Ozil.
Okay. I'll tell you where he is in a sec. What was yours, Rich?
I'll go for the one Chris said earlier, De Bruyne.
Congratulations, hero.
I didn't go for De Bruyne because he hasn't played for... He was out for a while.
So, yeah, but Ozil's done shag all for a while, hasn't he?
I can tell you that Ozil's not anywhere near the top 10. I've not gone far enough down behind him, to be honest. De Bruyne is about 20th-ish. If you'd have said Defoe, who was mentioned earlier, he was 11th. Firmino, Cahill, Coleman or Alonso would have also won it for you, Chris, ahead of De Bruyne. We've got one final round of the quiz coming later on the show, but well done, hero.
Oh yeah, I was thinking, if Firmino, he's another one that's down as a midfielder, isn't he?
Ah, he is, yeah.
And he's played as striking like it.
Those two biggish stories that we just want to fly over. So Harry Kane's suffered a ligament damage to his right ankle. It's thought to not be as serious as one that kept off 7 weeks. But if he's set out for, say, a month, how do you think it'll affect Spurs season?
I said earlier in the show that earlier in the season when Kane went out and Heung-Min Son sort of stepped into the breach and did really well, and it seemed that straight away as Kane went off at the weekend, then he just carried on as business as usual was for him.
Yeah.
It was good to see the Dutch lad get his first goal at home, whose name escapes me. Hopefully that gives him a bit of confidence, because he's just transformed from the player he was last season. He's one of them that's just really struggled to transition from the Dutch league over to the Premier League. And I was gutted for him, because he was a player that I'd really rated last year in the Dutch league, and I thought he was tailor-made for the Premier League, the style of play he had. But I don't think Spurs was ever the right side for him. I thought he'd have been better off going to a club like Everton. But hopefully that'll give him a bit of confidence. Kane out, he might get the starting berth up front, and he might get a few goals.
I think he'll end up playing Son up front myself rather than Janssen. But I think in the smaller games Spurs will be okay. But if Harry Kane's still out for the semi-final, say, then I don't fancy the chance. They really need Kane for the big games, not just for the player he is in terms of his quality, but he's also he helps that Spurs team in like leadership and that desire. I think they'll be fine in terms of Premier League, but semi-final's the key game.
Another story is that Romelu Lukaku has turned down the most lucrative contract offer in Everton's history of around £140,000 a week.
There was somebody I saw on Twitter, this guy having a go at him and saying it was, he's calling him greedy, but I think it's not about the money, and I think he's capable of playing for a bigger club. And this is the point I made earlier in the show about ambition and, wanting to play for a big club. Romelu Lukaku should be playing in the Champions League. He's a top player, and I even say the Champions League. He's capable of playing for outside of the big three, Bayern, Barcelona, and Real Madrid. He's capable of playing for anyone outside of that, I would say.
Well, the report sends up this morning's paper saying that Chelsea, United, Real Madrid, and Juventus are interested in signing him in the summer.
I can't see Chelsea going back in for him. Juventus, they've got Dybala and they've got Higuain. So I did initially think of Juventus, but they're pretty covered. Real Madrid, I imagine, will be looking for a striker. I don't think they've ever been particularly enamoured with Benzema.
No.
PSG, I think, would be after another striker.
Would you like to see him at United?
Pardon?
Would you like to see him at United? Because we've only got to get another season out of Ibrahimovic.
If given a choice, I'd prefer Griezmann.
Yeah. I can have both.
I don't know if Lukaku would fit United. Well, he said he wants Champions League football, so
yeah.
United might not even be in the running for it.
Alright, shall we move on to the final rounds on the pitch then?
Let's. Okay, So for this final round, I'm going to give you the names of 10 players, 5 each.
Yeah.
And I want you to give me a simple yes or no. Have these players played for England or not?
All right. Okay.
Should be simple, but we'll see how you get on. So, Chris, I'll go over to you first.
Yep.
John Ruddy.
Yes.
Yes, he has.
He played half a game.
He did.
Sorry, I completely missed what the question was.
So, have these players played for England or not?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yours is Lee Hendry, Richard. Has he played for England or not?
No.
Yes, he's played one game for England.
Yeah.
Leon Osman, Chris.
I think he played one or two.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Yes, he did. He played one game as well. Just for interest, all the players that did play for England in this list played once.
Yeah. Okay.
Here to you, Kevin Nolan.
I'll go no again.
No, he didn't. He did not make an England appearance ever.
Didn't he turned down the Republic of Ireland because he desperately wanted to play for England. I'm sure that was his.
Yeah, I think I've heard that somewhere. Anyway, Chris, it's back to you. Yep. Joey Barton.
Yes, he played.
He did. He's made an England appearance. Anything can happen in life.
In fairness to Joey Barton, when he got that cap, he was really on one of the best midfielders about that season.
Yeah, his first couple of seasons at Man City, he was amazing. He just went a bit off.
Yeah, and I think it was just because of all the baggage that came with him that he didn't get any more.
Yeah, seems to be after he poked that cigarette in that Predator's eye, his career didn't. And went downhill from there. So.
Yeah, that sort of thing's a tarred you a bit, doesn't it? It's a cigar, wasn't it?
It's a cigar. Yeah, I knew it was
something. I remember that. All right, Hero, your next one, Fraser Campbell.
I think he might have had a sub appearance.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has. He's played once for England. Chris, Matty Taylor.
No.
No, he hasn't. Richard, yours is Tony Hibbert.
Oh, the old Hibbert.
Yeah, he made a lot of appearances for Everton, but did he make one for England?
I don't think he ever did.
No, he didn't. Yeah. He didn't make an England appearance, no. So, your final ones each.
For the win.
Chris, Anthony Gardner.
Yeah,
he did. He made one appearance. And finally, Richard, David Dunn.
Trying to picture them back with like what shirts they would have had on at the time for England. I don't think he did.
With that,
Chris has won the final round. He did make one appearance for England. So, David Dunn made an appearance along with Lee Hendry, Anthony Gardner, Fraser Campbell, John Roddy, Leon Osman and Joey Barton. And all that. Well, I'll give you another one who famously didn't make an appearance, Steve Bruce.
Yeah,
I was going to mention him. He was... How he never got an England call up, I don't know.
Yeah. I was going to include it, but I thought it'd be too obvious as a, question.
Yeah, in my interview with Paul Parker, which I'll mention later, we had quite a big discussion about how underrated Bruce and Pallister were at the time. If they were around today, they'd have hundreds of caps between them. But I think Pallister got less than 20 caps as well.
I think Pallister was about 25.
Yeah,
people sort of think of like going back to the centre backs around the time. There's some great ones, but there were some absolute turgid ones that still got into the squad ahead of Bruce. Neil Ruddock was in there quite a bit.
Yeah.
Alright, so congratulations me. Yay, I won one. Alright, so we'll finish, as always, the last couple of weeks discussing our young Premier League 11, which is voted for by Twitter followers. The team so far is John Pickford in goal, our full-backs are Bellion and Robertson, and Eric Bailly won the first centre-back role, and so last week's poll was voted for the second centre-back. It was Nathan Aki, Harry Maguire, Alfie Mulland, and Kurt Zouma.
Alfie Mawson.
That's Alfie Mawson, sorry. Did I not say that right? also, then, who would you have wanted to get into the team?
It's It's a difficult one. I think Mawson's come into the Premier League and done very well. Zouk's probably the one who's got the highest potential. For me, Harry Maguire or Nathan Aki, either of them two I'd be happy with. But yeah, I do have a lot of respect for Mawson. Mm. But yeah,
me, Aki or Maguire. I think I said last week when we discussed him, I went for Maguire.
Yeah, Maguire won 34%. Kurt Zouma and Nathan Aki got 27 and 25% respectively. Alfie Mawson, even though he came second in the previous poll, he only got 14% in this one. So we're surprised. So we're not really that surprised by the results. He's a very good player, Harry Maguire. So it's going to be a good partnership.
Yeah,
Eric Bailly,
Harry
Maguire.
There's like two or three really good young players at all at the moment, and hopefully they keep on hold of them for a while.
All right, so on Thursday, we'll be releasing the poll for the first centre mid, and the players we've decided to go for is Ali, Harry Wilkes, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Paul Pogba, Barkley, Ward-Prowse and Tom Davis. Right, so how we decided to do it, we're going to go with the most second four are going to be in the first poll. So that's Dele Alli, Paul Pogba, Barkley, Harry Winks. And then the second place from that poll will go into the next week's poll with Oxlade-Chamberlain, Ward-Prowse and Tom Davis. So good luck to them players. It's turned out to be a good side so far. I'm quite enjoying this.
Yeah. I'd like to see one with the entirety of Europe in there. That'll be my next one.
That's the next season one.
We can start that. Start next season. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll start that for next season. The hipsters under 23 XI.
Kylian Mbappe.
You could do that on the Hipsters Guide to the Galaxy. Hipsters Guide to Europe.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
But I quite enjoyed the last episode of Dan the Liga Man on. So.
Yeah, no, it was a good episode. Spoke about La Liga and. Yeah, incorrectly predicted that PSG would get through to the next round of the Champions League as well, so sorry about that. I thought we'd made a fair assumption, but obviously not.
Well, we didn't count on the referee, did we?
No, we didn't. We should have counted on the referee. It's happened so many times in the past. We should have known that would happen.
Let's also check out our website, vtofootball.com, where you can find my recent interview with Paul Parker. I thought it was a really interesting interview. So I usually just go through his career, but he discussed his experience of being a young black man in the 80s, and he actually dreaded playing up north because of the abuse he had to get, particularly in Yorkshire, he said.
Yeah, I listened to it. It was a really, really enjoyable interview, actually. Really enjoyed it and would recommend people take a listen.
Yeah, and then he also talked about the impact.
He was a very, very good player as well.
I think he's a really underrated player. He was when I started watching, he was the... Man United's right back at the time. Yeah, he also talked about the impact.
Yeah, he had a few questions for us as well on the 72 show.
Yeah.
Which I know you conducted that interview for us. He did a few questions for us on the 72 show.
So it's my 72 show debut.
Kind of, yeah, I suppose you could look at it like that. This episode will be featuring Chris Lappin then, I suppose. Paul Parker was on that. We had Danny from Liquid Football who told us about what they're doing these days, which is, and spoke about Forest with them appointing the former Rangers boss, Mark Warburton. Loads of Football League stories to cover this week. And I got a fun job. I had a fun job editing that show down into something manageable. Really good show. Really enjoyed it. And absolutely loads to talk about. So, yeah, we were there for a while recording.
Yeah, we've had a packed week because Ash and Al had Mickey Acid on their show this week discussing Spurs season so far, and he went through all the young players they've got. Really, another just 15 minutes of just somebody who really knows they're talking about. another really good show this week. So check us out on Twitter, it's @VSUFootball, and like us on Facebook. Good night.
Good night.